Special yard site tonight. Tonight is the yard site of the Chafetz Chaim. Right? Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen. A great name, Lauren. Rabbi Yisrael Meir.
Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen was in this list, the namesake.
I know you call him Meir. I like to call him Yisrael Meir because it's to carry such a name, Yisrael Meir HaKohen. So there's so many things to say. B'shem b'chafetz chayim on his yard site, so many important lessons. There's a famous story of how he used to take the cheshbon hanefesh coming to the Yom Naram. They tell one story that when he was coming to Yom Naram, he made a cheshbon hanefesh that he remembered what he did throughout the whole year. He could really track everything he did, except it was one 10-minute interval that he didn't know what he did, that he became very upset because maybe he spoke Lashon Hara during those 10 minutes. That's the type of person, you know, even if it's not true, those are the types of stories they tell about him, you know, as it's another famous story with the Chafetz Chaim. But we know that the Chafetz Chaim, one etzah he gave Dafka around this time of year, it's brought down in the Sefer, Yom Narom, Mechitas Chafetz Chaim, it's a whole new set of Sfarim coming out, wonderful Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, has taken it upon himself to go through all of the Chafetz Chaim's collected works and organize it by topic. So he went through the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim, which is a huge multi-volume set, and took out everything, halacha, hashkafa, stories, all related to Yom Narom and Chafetz Chaim, put it in one book. And one etzah he brings down that the Chafetz Chaim felt very strongly going into Yom Narom was to really work on being done as Kol Adam L'Kaf Zchus for obvious reasons, judging everyone favorably. For obvious reasons. And we know that he talks about this in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon itself, that the Chafetz Chaim said when a person is accustomed to speaking Lashon Hara, speaking Rechilas, what you're doing is you're training yourself to look for the negative. You're training yourself to notice the stains and the worst of people. And he said that that's something that we really can't afford to do, especially when we go into the Yemei HaDin. In the Yemei HaDin, to notice the worst of people, that's a recipe for disaster, because the Chafetz Chaim writes in Shmiras HaLashon, you want to be done as Kol Adam L'Kaf Zechus, because we know that God treats you the way you treat others. You're going to go into Yom Naraim speaking negatively of people. You're going to go into the Yom Naraim speaking Lashon Hara, talking about the bad of people. Do you realize what you're doing to yourself? Do you realize how you're setting yourself up in Shemayim? And the Chafetz Chaim writes, no one who walks this earth on their own will come to a din of a tzaddik from the Ribbono Shlom directly. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov le'yechta. Shlomo HaMelech himself tells us there's no such thing as the tzaddik who only does good and doesn't sin. We all have avonos. We all sin one way or another. And the Chafetz Chaim said how important it is when we go into the Yemei HaDin to really, really work on making sure we're done as kadam l'kaf zchus, that we're looking for the good in people, that we're only speaking positively of people. You know, some have commented in a little bit of a joking manner, this is why the Chafetz Chaim's yahrzeit is right before Rosh Hashanah. You know, so we all remember these teachings. Like, he made sure that he died right before Rosh Hashanah, so we're going to remember his important teachings. And, you know, we often think about the idea that Rav Pam said. Rav Pam, the story is told about Rav Pam, the great Rosh Shiva from Tor V'Das, that he one time, let it be known that in Torah Vadas he was going to give a shmooze about the most dangerous time of Yom Naram. And if you remember this, we've told this before. What was the most dangerous time of Yom Naram according to Rav Pam?
The meals.
Yeah. Why? Because, you know, you come home after Shul and say, do you see what she was wearing? How could she wear that? The rabbi, how long he spoke, the chazen, the voice, and that one was davening so loud, that one was davening so slow, that one was davening. And it's unbelievable. Rav Pam said, you know what you're doing? You're coming, Mom, she just went through din. And no offense, Mestama, not many have reached the appellation of tzaddik on the first day of Rosh Hashanah when there's a din kashya. We don't want to be judged first day. We want to be judged second day. Second day is when there's the lighter judgment. The first day is when there's the harsher judgment. We don't want to be judged the first day. You're going to go after your meal, after first, you talk about, you're crazy. You're crazy? Because when you speak negatively of people, what do they say? It's when Shamayim, they open up your dossier to see, well, you're saying this about that guy, let's see what you did. Right? You talk negatively about how that woman appeared, let's see how you stand up to this to this measuring stick. And so that's where Rav Pam said how dangerous it is. The meals and Yom on Rosh Hashanah Dafka, Chas V'Shalom, that a person should speak negatively of others. Chas V'Shalom, to speak Lashon Hara. And we know that this is really what the Chafetz Chaim was all about. Rabbi Lam points out that the greatness of the Chafetz Chaim was that he was a revolutionary. Because what does it mean he was a revolutionary? Rabbi Lam wrote this about the Chafetz Chaim. He said the Chafetz Chaim was a revolutionary because he took socially acceptable behavior and revealed the evil within. That's what Rabbi Lam wrote. That's what the godless of the Chafetz Chaim, he was a revolutionary. And still today, we're just talking. No, you're not just talking. According to the Gemara and Eich, and according to the Ram, you're committing murder. You're not just talking. Right? That's how serious Lashon Hara is. Don't forget the Gemara and Eich that the Rambam quotes, that there are three sins you have to give your life rather than violate. Avodah Zarah, Gilurei Shvichas Damim. And the Gemara says, V'Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. Lashon Hara is equal to all of them. Now, if that's not a frightening statement, I don't know what is, certainly when we sit here less than a week before Yom Naran. So this is something that when we reflect on the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shmuel Meir HaKohen, people say his name was Kagan. Pasha says his name was Pupko. Kagan was how they referred to Kohanim in Poland. His real name, they say, was Pupko. If you'll see, it's fascinating. Everyone mistakenly thinks his name was Kagan. I also thought his name was Kagan until on one rabbinic listserv I'm on, someone posted, his name was Pupko, not Kagan. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, a few years ago, I'm taking this historian, and he was a historian, a rabbi who was a PhD in history, so I'm like, I'll take his word for it. Although I've never gone to the Wikipedia page to really check the facts, That's where we check the facts today. We go to Wikipedia. But this is something that I think is so important, that we want Hashem to judge us a certain way. Be so careful how we pass judgment on people. Just today in one of my classes, I got very worked up about this. How a name of a very controversial figure came up, and the reaction to this individual, and I said, do you understand? Ain dan yachid yelakud shebricho. There's only one who judges alone, and that's God. We don't judge people. Right? Don't judge another until you reach her place or his place. And when do you really ever reach the place of another person? Never. Never. Well, you can express your opinion in terms of who you want to vote for. So many people ask me, so, Rabbi, you're watching the debate. Chas v'shalom. It's going to give me nightmares. I watch the debate. It's going to give me nightmares.
I was ashamed to say that.
I'm not watching the debate. Chas v'shalom. I daven for Mashiach Tzakenu. Amen. Right? That's it. That's what we hope. We're all going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Bekarav Mamish. Right? That this should be a year of Geula. Bekarav. But this is something that I can't stress how chashuv it is, how important it is to really only look all the time, but especially this last week of the year, because we say, Tov Achris Davar Merishi, so the end of something is better than the beginning. Why is the end better than the beginning? Because in the beginning you start off strong, but what happens? It doesn't last. But Tov Achris Davar Merishi, so because at the end, they say you pick up the end of a stick, you pick up the whole stick. You can fix the whole year. In this last week of the year, today was the last Monday, tonight, tomorrow is the last Tuesday, you can fix the whole year. And they say that's why this last Shabbos of the year is so chashuv. You know why? Because in the last Shabbos of the year, you fix all of the Shabboses of an entire year. But we know Shabbos has what in it? Shabbos has the koach of the whole week in it. So if you fix this last Shabbos, you fix all of the Shabboses of the year, that means you fix all the weeks of the year. So please, 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 be careful what you say this last week. Be careful how we pass judgment on people all the time. All the time, chas v'shalom, to pass judgment on another person, another Jew, another person, b'chlal. We have to be so careful about this, and especially in this last week. People wonder, I don't want to get into it, whatever. Just, if you ever look ba'omek hadin, if you ever look in some of the Chavetz Chaim took din very seriously. He took the omek hadin, the depth of judgment, very seriously. We have no idea why bad things happen to people. But but I always, but there is an idea of Yisurin b'mimari kavonoso shel adam, suffering that causes the sins of a person to be taken away of. And as we learned in our parsha here on Shabbos, v'sigucha, right? No? Rachel? Elisa? Yeah? V'sigucha, with the vav, without the vav. You want your punishments in this world rather than the next world. Do you understand what a single word of Lashon Hara is mechayiv you? Do you understand what a single word of Lashon Hara is mechayiv you? The story that always puts it in perspective is a story that happened years and years and years ago. And I'm repeating it more than the fourth time, Elisa.
Okay.
A story when my parents were once away on a weekend bar mitzvah. Very rare my parents would be away for a weekend bar mitzvah. Normally my father, but this was a weekend bar mitzvah. Punk, the shul wanted, he went on a weekend bar mitzvah. So he was at a weekend bar mitzvah, and my grandparents were with us for Shabbos. And during the meal, one of my brothers, who shall remain nameless, this is what happens when you're being recorded, you know, and you post on Yom Tov, so yeah, I can't. One of my brothers, during the meal, jumps up in the middle of the meal, screams, "The chicken is treif! The chicken's treif!" And my grandmother got so upset. "What are you talking about? I'll show you the plumba." If you don't know what a plumba is, it's like a metal tag that was clipped onto the wing of a chicken. "I'll show you the plumba with the UO." It wasn't an OU. It was a UO. A certain generation, it wasn't an OU. It was a UO. "I'll show you the UO on it. It's kosher. You mishugana. You weren't in the kitchen. How do you know what the kashrus of this chicken is? You chutzpah to question me." My brother just goes, "Speaking Lashon Hara is 28 Isurim d'araisa. Eating a treif chicken is one." And he sat down quiet. What does he mean? That the conversation at the table, we were talking about people. And he just showed us so viscerally, in such an in-your-face way. But you know what? I was a young kid because my brother was in one of his fanatic stages, so he was probably 15, 16. So I was 10. I was 9. And I was traumatized by that experience, but in a good way. Like, who would think of eating treif chicken? Like, mom is going into Chick-fil-A really looks good. And it smells good. Certain times you can smell it on Route 22, that Chick-fil-A. It's good?
Make the turn.
It's good, right?
Yeah. That drive-through window.
I'm telling you, it's always packed.
Always.
It must be good. I've had people tell me it is the best of the non-kosher restaurants. I always thought IHOP, they said every time they ate at IHOP, they got sick. I said, "Rabbi, not IHOP. Chick-fil-A really is the best. It's so fresh." Mamish, eating a Chick-fil-A chicken burger is so much less chumer than speaking one word of Lashon Hara. Can you imagine how many of us, and eating the chicken is not causing in Shamayim that they're going to now look at everything you do with a fine-tooth comb? Can you imagine? Are we starting to understand? And this is why the Chavetz Chaim's yard site, they say the yard site is the day when the teachings of that person burn the brightest. I said a tongue-in-cheek when I quoted someone who made this comment before, but it is Hashkach El Yona that his yartzeit mamish falls out, and always in the last week of the year, that we could be meichen, that we can understand his teachings, that we can connect to it in a deep way, and it can change your life. A person that commits to Shmiras HaLashon, and there are people that I know personally, that people here know personally, who have told me, going through incredible tzaras, that when they went to a certain tzaddik, he told them, "You have to start being makban and shmir shalosh and learn 2 halachas a day, and you have to really work at it as a couple." And when they did, they experienced incredible Yeshua Hashem. Incredible, incredible Yeshua Hashem. And people looking for segulas, but this one is pashat. This isn't check your mezuzahs. I'm not knocking that. But, you know, this is something that we understand very clearly why, if you start being careful with what you say, you're opening up the Arubos HaShemayim, the storehouses, the windows in heaven, to pour blessing into you. So this is something that we can't stress enough. And, you know, as we said it on Shabbos, we said it by Shal Shudis, the idea how hard it is, according to the Rambam, to give tochacha, to give proper mussar. And this time of year, I always get very nervous. Who am I to say this? Who am I to talk about this? And so that's why very often what I share in Shiurim, what I share in drashas, are things that I feel, things that I'm working on for myself. You know, I say that about Chaim Brisker. I'm telling you, I'm talking to myself. I only can say things that are moving me, that are affecting me. I can't get up and give a drasha that's I'm disconnected to. That's why people wonder why I don't talk politics. People have tinnitus on me. I don't talk politics. I don't talk politics. I don't want to talk about politics. Politics don't move me. Politics scare me. If I want to scare everyone, maybe I'll talk about politics. See, Rosh Hashanah. That's what I want to talk about, Rosh Hashanah. I don't want to talk about that. But this is something that there's no question. No question. It'll be a zechus for you. It'll be a zechus for your family. It'll be a zechus for everyone, you know. A zechus for the world. If you really try and be done, it's called Olam L'Kav Zechus. Try and see the best in people. And when I say try, I know it's hard. I know it's not an easy thing to see the best in people. For some, it's a greater challenge than others. There are some that see things very black and white, and for them to really see the better in people, it's like ripping their kishkus out. It's ripping their kishkus out. It's not easy at all. For others, it's easier. They're different nisyonos. Everyone has different nisyonos. And the Lashon Hara, how careful we have to be. I one time asked Rav Matzisyahu Salomon about speaking Lashon Hara about non-Jewish public figures. And he thought, me'ikar hadin, he told me, it's okay. But he said it's not a good habit to fall into. Why? You know why it's not a good habit? Because you'll bash Hillary, and we'll bash Donald, and then we'll bash, I don't know, let's think of someone closer. You know, we'll bash Governor Christie, then we'll bash our assemblyman, who's Jewish, John Bramnick, is a Yid, right? Then we'll start bashing Benji Hofer, the Shul president. Then we'll bash who's the president of Sisterhood now. I don't know whoever that is. We'll bash her, and we'll bash the heads of the school. We'll bash Rav Aaron. We'll bash Rav Uzi. We'll go bashing everyone. Bash me. I deserve it, so get my kapar. You bash me, then you get my sins. Good, bash me. Please, you know. Nafshi ka'afar la'koltia. My soul should be like dust to everyone, right? Halavai. But you understand, that's what Rav Matzisyahu said. Me'ikar hadin. I asked him, I was driving him back to Lakewood when we spoke. He said, me'ikar hadin. No, I think maybe I was driving to his daughter's house when he spoke by Miyamna Ram a number of years ago. Me'ikar hadin, it's mutter? He goes, don't do it. It's just not, it's not kedai. It's not kedai. Because it's so easy to go from, and I once heard a conversation like this. Mom, I'm sorry, oh my gosh, I just looked at the time. I'm going so, I didn't even get to the parsha yet. But one time I was in part of a conversation. People were talking about Hillary and talking about Donald. Okay, that's mutter. And then they started ripping a certain very well-known, very well-respected Orthodox Rav who's a big supporter of Hillary. He lives in New Jersey. I'm good friends with some of his kids. A very well-known Rav in New Jersey. He was a big Hillary supporter. And people said, yeah, that rabbi, how could he? He's crazy. He's a self-educated Jew. I just said, and Mom, Rav Matzisyahu said, became very clear. You're talking about two public, non-Jewish political figures that make her adin its mutter. It's so quickly talking about a Rav who is responsible for bringing so much good into this world. And if I told you who it is, you'd be like, are you kidding me? That he supports Hillary. Maybe you'd be shocked, okay? but he supports Hillary. And you'd be like, people went, and yeah, but that's what it is. You just start the train of talking negative. And just, it trains you to look for bad. And you get caught in it. And not being done with kafzachus. Could it be that this rabbi really believes that Hillary is the best one for this country and for Medina Yisrael? Could it be? It's shayach. It's definitely shayach in today's election cycle. So how could you say these things? So that's why Rav Matzisyahu said, Me'ikra din, it's mutter, but he doesn't advise it. He said it could be even about like a well-known rush, a Madoff. He said, maybe Me'ikra din, again, it's mutter. But how quickly it rolls, how quickly it rolls. And that's something to stay away from. So on the Chafetz Chaim Zeretzeit, that his teachings should bring on the Liel L'Nishmaso, and we should learn from his teachings. We should be able to connect to the teachings of the Chafetz Chaim tonight and tomorrow on his Zeretzeit and really take it in. So what I wanted to talk about tonight was a comment of the Ramban and then a comment of the Svarno that really go together. And then we'll see what time we have left. But the comment of the Ramban starts in Perek Chav Tes Pasuk Yud Zayin, page 1086, 1087, the very, very beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. This Parsha is an eye blink, right? You blink, and this Parsha is over, right? If you want to come to Shul for something, just know that this is a short parsha, right? The average is not even 6 psukim in Aliyah. 40 psukim divided by 7, not even 6 psukim in Aliyah. Right? That's how short this parsha is. That's how quick this parsha is. So in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we say, Pen yesh bachem isho isho umshbacha o shevet, asher levavo foneh hayom me'im Adonai Eloheinu, lalachas la'avodes Elohei agoyim ha'em. Right? We say, maybe there will be amongst you a man or a woman, a family, a shevet, whose hearts turn them from Hashem this day to go to follow and to serve idols, right? And then we say, Pen yesh bachem shoresh pore rosh vela'ana. Maybe there is amongst you a bad root. Or bad root, how to translate shoresh pore, a root flourishing with gall and wormwood. The Ramban points out that, one second, we have two very, very different type of people here. The first type of people Moshe Rabbein was talking about in this pasuk are what type of people? People who are over the Avodah Zarah, right? People that have been led astray into idolatry, into, you know, one of the three cardinal sins, and then grouped together with them is what? Pen yesh bachem shoresh pore rosh v'lana. If you look in the Ramban, this is not a person who's sinning. This is a person who shomer shabbos, kashrus. This is a person who davens three times a day. But what does a person have? He has a shoresh pore rosh v'lana. He has a root. There's a root inside of him that's rotten. That's rotten. How could the Torah do this? How could the Torah put together a person who's worshiping idols with a person that just has a bad root, that has something wrong what's inside? So Rav Henoch Leibowitz in the Chidushei Halev, right? Actually in an English version of a Shmuz, it's not in the original Hebrew. I have the Hebrew Sfarim and some English Shmuzin. In the English Shmuz, he gives a mashal that Rav Elyameir Bloch, right, the Rosh Hashiva of Telz, that Rav Elyameir Sirotkin is named for, right? Rav Elyameir Bloch, the Rosh Hashiva of Telz, was one time in Chicago, and he was in the Chicago train station. And he said to his Talmidim, what's the distance between those two trains? One of the trains was a New York Central pacemaker train. That was a train that went from Chicago to New York, to New York City. The other was a Sunshine Express, a train that goes from Chicago all the way out to San Francisco. He said to his Talmidim, how far between these two trains? So he looked, they said, 8 feet, maybe 10 feet, maybe 15 feet. He said, no, there are 3,000 miles between these trains. I said, what? What are you talking about? The 10 feet between these trains. He said, the 3,000 miles between the trains. He said that he's teaching his Talmidim, the Yesod, that you have to be able to see the direction, the trajectories that things are taking. He said that trajectory, the path that they're on, is indicative of where they will be. So right now, they're 15 feet apart, but they're really 3,000 miles apart, because this one's going to wind up in New York, this one's going to wind up in San Francisco. Rabbi Elyameir Bloch, that little maaser, Rabbi Henoch Leibowitz says, teaches us what the Ramban is teaching us in this week's parsha, that the measure of a person is not what they do. The measure of the person is what's on the inside. And that's why one time I was covering for Rabbi Effi Buchwald Shlita, the founder of the National Jewish Outreach Project, one of really the greatest makarvim in the world today, in the 20th century, really so much. Effi. So I was once covering for him, running his beginner services in Lincoln Square for him over one summer. And of course, like, he took off 1 week, where I don't know if he planned this, but he caused me a lot of agita, because that week there was an article about him in the New York Times. And in the New York Times article, he was quoted by the reporter saying, I don't care if you're Reform, conservative, orthodox, Hasidic, as long as you're on the path, as long as you're on the trajectory. So one of the beginners said, Rabbi, do you know why Rabbi Effie said that? I'm like, why? He goes, my mother called me this week, said, your own rabbi says you could be Reform. Why do you have to be going to this Orthodox temple? Right? Why do you have to be Orthodox? Why do you just, you could be Reform. What's the big deal? So I explained to this wonderful fellow, I said, I think you have to ask Rabbi Effie himself. You have to ask Rabbi Buchwald himself when he comes back from vacation. But I think what he meant was that when you're on a trajectory of spiritual growth, it doesn't matter where you are right now. It doesn't matter right now you're in Chicago. You're really in San Francisco on that Sunshine Express. You're in San Francisco. That's where you're going. And so that's what the Ramban is teaching us. There's a fine line between a person who's worshiping idols and a person who's rotten in his core. Even on the outside, he's going to Minyan 3 times a day, and he keeps kosher, and he keeps Shabbos. It's a very fine line. And as Ramban said, it might not come out in the person. It might come out in the person's children, grandchildren. You don't know. You don't know. But how careful we have to be with what's on the inside. And that yesod of the Ramban is highlighted by a comment of the Svarna. And this also, the Chiddush Elev points out, in Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, right, in the very next page. You don't have to go too far to get to a different point in this week's Parsha. V'haya ki avo, Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, right there, the second Pasuk on the page. And it will be when all of these things come upon you that I'm mentioning, the blessing and the curse, and you will go to your heart, you will turn to your heart, once you're amongst all of the goyim living in exile that I pushed you there. Right? What does Vashevos Elevavecha mean? You know what the Sfarno says it means? The Sfarno says a fascinating idea. The Sfarno says Vashevos Elevavecha means when you're going to look inside yourself at your contrary feelings and the different drives that you have pulling you in different ways until you get to see what is emes and what is sheker, and thereby you're able to judge your actions. What does it mean, Vashevos Elevavecha? Rav Henoch says a beautiful idea. One of the Al-Chaits that we say in Yom Kippur is Al-Chait Shechatonu Lefanecha B'Yodim Uvelo Yodim. Right? That will forgive us for the sins that we sinned in front of you. B'Yodim, the ones that we're aware of. Uvelo Yodim, the ones that we don't know of. So most people think Yodim is really the key to tshuva. Yodim. The sins that we know, the things that we did wrong, right? Velo Yodim, who knows what they are? God only knows, right? God, just take care of the Loyodim. If Henoch says from the Svarna, we see it's just the opposite. You know where really tshuva begins? By plumbing the depths of the Loyodim. Tshuva begins by looking inside. Tshuva begins by looking at the roots, looking at the midos, look at what your drive is, look at what you aspire to. What are your goals? That's where tshuva begins. Rav Henoch says tshuva begins with the lo yodim, the things that we're not aware of, the things that in the process of cheshbon hanefesh we have to uncover. And from the lo yodim, we come to the yodim. Now I understand why I spoke lashon hara. Now I see why I treated that person wrong. Now I see why I did that. Now I see why I made that mistake. I get angry and this and that. So it's from the lo yodim. That's what we have to be sensitive to. That's what we have to try and connect to. And that's what I heard from a very chash of a friend of mine just today. We were talking about something, and I said, I'm giving a parsha shir tonight. Share with me an idea. And my friend Rabbi Lavi Greenspan, a very, very special Jew, who spoke here once in the shul before, really an amazing person. We talk about him coming for Shabbos. We're way, way overdue. Hopefully Rabbi Lavi will come for Shabbos Bekarov. So he told me a vart. I said, perfect. This fits in perfectly, Lavi, on the Pasuk of the Ramban. The Pasuk of the Ramban that we just said, Pen Yishbechem Isho Isho Mishpacho Shevet, right? Lalaches Lavod Eselhei Agoy Mahem Pen Yishbechem Shorish Porer Rosh V'Ana. So he has many chavrusas that he learns with over the fun. One of them, a Rav in Lakewood, shared with him the idea. If you see, what are the Rashi Tevos of the word Shorish Porer Rosh V'Ana? What are the Rashi Tevos? What are the letters that begin those four words talking about the root? The root that's corrupt, the root that's rotten, shofar. Shofar. You know what the mitzvah of shofar is? That's exactly the lesson of shofar. The lesson of shofar is a lesson of getting to your roots. The lesson of shofar is where you... That's what shofar is supposed to do. Shofar is supposed to return you to what's inside, to the things that you don't necessarily, not even necessarily aware of. It's supposed to be that push. And shofar is what can help you root out that shoresh porerosh vila'ana. So that's an allusion to this idea of the Ramban and the Svarno, how chashuv it is, how important it is that our process of tshuva is not only about our ma'asim. Of course, tshuva has to be a ma'asim, the actions that we've done that were wrong, that missed the mark, that were rebellious, chas v'shalom. But more than that is we have to work on the trajectory. We have to get to the insides. Why did I do these things? What are the midos that I have to work on? Because as the Ramban said, you can have a person on the outside, he's glat kosher, but on the inside, he's mamish glat treif. Glat treif. Outside, glat kosher. And we don't mean he's fooling people. We don't mean he's fooling people. Thinks l'shem shemayim. But if there's a shorish, poer rosh v'lan na, there's a root that's not good. And that's really what Cheshbon HaNefesh's time of year is. Cheshbon HaNefesh is not actions. I've always thought. We say so many Hashem l'bagadnos. We say so many al-chaitz. We basically cover any possible sin you could do. Right? And if there are things that stick out, that's good. But the real Cheshbon HaNefesh, I think for this time of year, something we alluded to on Shabbos, is really asking yourself the broader questions of life. Did I miss out on my goals for Tav Shanai and Vav? What did I want to accomplish this year? And that's why I recommend to students to write a list of what your goals are for this year. What were the goals that you had for last year that you want to work on? What are the goals that you have for this year? Because that's what's inside. That's the loyodim. That's where the real work of tshuva has to take place. So that's the yesod about the Chafetz Chaim Zyartzeit. A yesod from the Parsha, from the Ramban, and the Sfarno, from the Chidush Alev. And now, if you'll permit me, just one quick idea. It's already late. One quick idea about the machzor. So I mentioned 2 weeks ago the idea that my father told me many, many times that his favorite shiurim, and he knows many of the Rav's other favorite shiurim, were the shiurim that the Rav gave when he brought in his machzor. That's what I said by Danny's ufruf. That the Rav, so only Sarah is responsible, that I assume she knows what I said. That the Rav, you would bring in a machzor, and he would be dorish the psukim. And my father said that it was a tanag. It totally changed Rosh Hashanah. So I got a lot of comments about that. People would like to hear more about that. That's why we had the machzor shir Sunday morning that Howard was at, that Howard made it to. So I wanted to just very, very briefly go over the yesodos of Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros, because those are the major themes of the day. There's a lot more here. We'll do it b'ktzara, b'ktzara, mamish, very, very brief. So what are the, and again, in the shir, the bigger shir, we went through the different psukim, developing these themes, showing how that happens. But in terms of Malchios, and this is mostly from the Rav, but from a few other Sfarim as well. What is Malchios? What is kingship? So that's Pasha. That is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has universal sovereignty. The psukim of Malchios are about Hashem as Melech, Hashem in control of the world, and it's really very universalistic. There are a few psukim that allude to the uniqueness of the relationship of the Jewish people with Hashem, that we have a unique relationship with Hashem, right? One of the psukim that we say is from Parshas Balak, that was said by Bilam HaRasha, Uchuas Melech Bo, Lohibit Oven B'Yakov L'Ram L'Bisrael, right? Uchuas Melech Bo, that the Jewish people have the friendship of the king. But it's really Hashem as king, and the psukim of Malchios are about Hashem in control of the world. The first thing that we have to know on Rosh Hashanah, when we're creating the new world for ourselves, as we've said many, many, many times, or Wolfson said the 10 psukim are like corresponding to the 10 sayings that Hashem used to create the world, we're creating our own world in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So the first thing is, we're recognizing, we're creating a world in which Hashem is in control of everything. Not that Hashem needs us to do that, but we need that. We need to recognize that. We need to let Hashem in and to recognize that Hashem is the Kol Yochel, Hashem is the Malko Shel Olam, the one who makes all the calls. Then we come to Zichronos. What is Zichronos about? So the Rav said Zichronos has three major yesodos. The first is that Hashem is beyond all time. In the section of Zichronos, it's one of the themes that we focus on, that Hashem is beyond all of time. And you'll see in the Nusach HaTfil, if you look in the Machzor, you'll see. The second is the Hashgacha Pratis, with each person, and that the actions of each person are significant. Because a person could be looking at Yom Noram, be looking at that Hashem is a Melech Hayom Haras Olam. It's very broad, right? We look at the countries, what's going to happen to this country, what's going to happen to that country. And a person can think, what am I? Do I really matter? And so that's why, who do we stress? Who's the first Pasuk of Zechronos that we speak about? We speak about Noah. He's not even Jewish, that's first. But second, it's the value of the Maise of a lone individual against an entire world. And I know that there's what that we discussed in the past, knocking Noah. But here we're talking about the fact that Noah's actions were not just swallowed up with the whole world. That Noah's actions were recognized by Hashem. That Hashem remembered Noah's actions. And there's hashgacha pratis for the individual. And we show the value of every individual person in Zichronos to Hashem. And the third is the Zichronos. And I personally think the most moving section of all of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros are the psukim of Zichronos from the Nevi'im. Because those psukim are so powerful. They're about the relationship of Hashem, the love of Hashem and the Jewish people. That's what we said from Rav Pinkus. We mentioned in the Drush, Rav Pinkus compares Zichronos. This is the major yisod he picks up on. Like an old couple that look at like their scrapbook from when they were dating. That looks at their wedding album. Looks at all the albums of the kids. And just a walk down memory lane with Hashem. And when we walk down memory lane with Hashem, what do? You develop such an appreciation for what Hashem means, and we are hoping that Hashem has the same for us. Right? So that's the theme in Zichronos. And the theme in Shofros, the last of the three, so the Shofar represents a revelation of Hashem. That's what a Shofar represents. Shofar represents revelation of Hashem. And the Rav said the psukim that we have, the psukim of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim talk about a different type of revelation. The psukim of the Torah all talk about shofar where? They all talk about shofar at Mamet Har Sinai. Right? Yeah? Lauren, correct? I'm right? Yeah, okay. So the psukim of shofros in Torah are all about Har Sinai, meaning the revelation of Hashem from the past. Right? If you look at the psukim of the Nevi'im, what is the shofar it's talking about? It's talking about the shofar of Mashiach. It's talking about a revelation of Hashem in the future. The Rav is Masbir. You know what the psukim of Ksuvim are talking about? They're psukim from Tehillim. It's talking about the revelation of Hashem in the everyday. But there's the shofar of the past. There's the shofar of the future. And the psukim of shofros, of Ksuvim, of Tehillim, talk about the shofar the revelation of Hashem every day. And one yisod that the Rav has was that one of the psukim, it's not one pasuk, it's 10 mentions of the theme of shofar, is the whole last parak of Tehillim. The whole last parak of Tehillim. Halu b'seika shofar, halu b'nevel. We mention all those psukim, the whole last parak of Tehillim. What's that doing here? The mention of seika shofar is incidental. So the Rav has a beautiful hesbron, with this will end. The Rav says that the last parak of Tehillim, the Yerushalmi tells us, when a person was bringing Bikurim up to Yerushalayim, that was the song they would sing. They would sing that last parak of Tehillim. What does that mean? What's the whole message of Bikurim? The whole message of Bikurim is seeing Hashem's hand in what? In everything that we have. You're bringing your fruits to the Beis HaMikdash and you're singing to Hashem, I see Hashem in these dates. I see Hashem in these pomegranates. I see Hashem in these grapes. Right? And that's what the parak is. What's the last pasuk of the last parak of Tehillim? Kol haneshama tal ya, hallelu. And how do Chazal dorish that? Kol neshima neshima. Every breath I praise you, God. And that's halu b'seika shofar. We praise Hashem with the blowing of the shofar that we recognize every day is a day of Iskalos. Every day is a day of Hashem revealing Himself to us. We just have to be able to be sensitive enough to be able to see it. And be'ezus Hashem, we have the zechus to learn a lot of Torah together this year. I really hope, and I really daven, we should all be davening for this, that this is the last year that we learn together in Chutz La'aretz. Be'ezrus Hashem, we should be zilche. You know, we said from the Satmar Rav, we said this in a drush a number of years ago, the Satmar Rebbe says we blow all these tekiyas. We say, kedei levalvel es ha-satan, to cause satan to get afraid. What does that mean? Some of the Rishonim means that when the satan hears so much shofar blowing, he's going to think, what? He's going to think it's the shofar of Mashiach. So they ask on that Rishon. the Sultan's an idiot. The Sultan's such an idiot. I don't understand. Every year, see, Satmar Rebbe says such a beautiful idea. Satmar Rebbe's Chassir Gein Aleinu. He says, no, the Satan knows how close Mashiach really is. The Satan knows how close Mashiach really is. So that's why whenever he hears a lot of shofar blowing, you know what he thinks? He thinks, oh man, this is it, I'm done. Halavai, halavai, we should hear all those blows of the shofar, and we should be waiting, and we should be expecting.